With Canada working to get in on the U.S.-Mexico trade deal, a piece of this is how Canadians answer the enduring question, got milk? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Canada has until Friday to sign on to a new trade agreement for NAFTA that's connected to the Mexican political calendar, with a new government on the way in there. Earlier this week, U.S. and Mexico announced the outline of their own pact, and that sent Canadian Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland flying straight to Washington to see if there's a way to join in. Among the most intensely negotiated issues between the U.S., Canada, Mexico, cars, patents, and Canada's protected industries, including dairy. Reporter Emma Jacobs explains.
Louis Forget, a fifth-generation dairy farmer in Laval, Quebec, is following the news very closely this week.
On est très inquiet. C'est sûr qu'on est inquiet.
For decades, Forget and other Canadian farmers have been assured a steady income under Canada's so-called supply management system. Farmers get yearly production quotas based on how much dairy it's projected Canadians will consume. Prices are regulated, and tariffs of up to 241% limit the amount of foreign milk flowing across the border. President Donald Trump has repeatedly talked and tweeted about how unfairly Canada's steep tariffs treat American dairy producers. But the system is vital to the survival of Canada's dairy farmers, says Bruce Muirhead at the University of Waterloo.
If we ever lost the tariff structure we have now, we would absolutely be swamped with American milk.
He says subsidies to U.S. farmers, better weather to the south, and economies of scale all make American milk cheaper to produce. And a U.S. milk glut keeps prices down. So abandoning the system?
It would just put Canadian farmers out of business, absolutely for sure.
Canadian economists aren't all fans of the supply management system. And a majority of Canadians would support scrapping it too, because it boosts the price of milk and cheese at the store. But Canadian officials, including Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, keep promising dairy industry protections will be preserved. Still, Forget, the farmer, feels increasingly vulnerable as Canadian trade officials scramble to salvage a trade agreement with the United States.
On trouve qu'on n'a pas gros de pouvoir, par contre.
We feel we don't have a lot of power, he says, and we have a feeling we're going to be sacrificed. On this farm in Quebec, the anxiety is growing. President Trump wants a deal with Canada by tomorrow. In Montreal, I'm Emma Jacobs for Marketplace.
There's news that the International Monetary Fund is open to a fresh request from Argentina to speed up payment of a $50 billion aid package it got back in June. Many are taking this as a sign that South America's second largest economy is in worse shape than was thought. Marketplace's Sabri Benishor has more.
Argentina's economy is in trouble. Budget deficits, high inflation, slow growth. Benjamin Gadan is a senior advisor at the Wilson Center, and he says everything the government needs to do to fix those problems is really hard to pull off.
It has to reduce public spending in an election period, which is never easy. It has to massively increase the cost of electricity and natural gas and buses and trains.
Now, the current Argentine government has done some of these things anyway. It raised interest rates to 40%. It's cut spending.
And yet, despite all that, the peso remains under pressure.
Wind Thin heads emerging markets for Brown Brothers Harriman. Investors have been pulling out, devaluing the peso, making Argentina's debts worse. In part, this is because investors are wary of all emerging markets.
The rest of emerging markets have been selling off the last 3 or 4 months. Pretty much a deteriorating global backdrop for emerging markets.
Money is leaving these markets for stronger economies like the U.S.'s, and crises in places like Turkey have made investors extra skittish. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor for Marketplace.
Another country in deep economic trouble that experts say may at some point be also forced to turn to the IMF for help is Turkey. That currency is down again today, with the dollar up another 3%, with the lira at 6.66. It was in the high fours less than a month ago. Some stocks. The FTSE in London is down 0.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down 0.2%.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Slabaugh from Columbus, Indiana. Make Me Smart and Marketplace are two of my favorite shows, both pushing me to think outside of my normal boundaries and making issues important to me that I wouldn't have considered before. I became a Marketplace investor because I feel it's important to vote with your dollar for media that makes a difference in the world. To join me as a Marketplace investor, donate today in whatever amount works for you at marketplace.org.
When the U.S. economy hits the skids, our central bank invents extra money to try to revive things. Among the countries that use the euro, an alternate approach has run into trouble. French President Macron has been pushing the idea of creating a big extra eurozone-wide pool of money, call it a euro budget, that could be used to stimulate things if trouble surfaced there. But the idea now is losing steam. Let's understand this better by turning to the BBC's Europe correspondent Damien Grammaticus in Brussels. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So there is this idea of a eurozone budget. We know the individual EU countries have their national budgets, but this is one for the whole currency block.
I mean, you're right. The individual countries obviously have their budgets. The EU, the European Union, so the 28 countries also have a common budget, which is used for common things. So that's like funding agricultural policies across the union, infrastructure, scientific research. Then President Macron comes into power in France on a sort of pro-EU wave, that what he thinks the EU needs is a budget of its own for the countries that use the euro, the eurozone. And he was talking about a huge budget, several percentage points of GDP, to be able to help those countries fund things like growth, competitiveness, and to stabilize economic shocks.
What might be the broad German objection? Just that they might have to pay for a lot of this?
The German difficulty often is that they feel that as the biggest economy, that they don't want to be the ones who would be bankrolling profligate countries as they might see it. So the German concern has always been, I think, centralizing pools of money that become EU or Eurozone pools of money that would essentially be funded by Germany, but would be transfers of money to other countries. And that's what they've always resisted.
Some context from Damien Grammaticus, the BBC's Europe correspondent. Damien, thank you.
It was a pleasure.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.